This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump doubles down. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. On this Friday, August 11, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Pushing back at those who felt he was heavy-handed with his fire and fury comments, President Trump says maybe his statement about punishing North Korea wasn't tough enough.
The White House declares the opioid epidemic a national emergency.
Google cancels a meeting on diversity, which was hastily scheduled after the leak of a controversial memo.
And the surprising credit card fees that can catch consumers off guard.
There's some very common fees that you can actually avoid if you can. So it's kind of just a good reminder that, you know, even though some of these cards have them, you don't have to pay them if you don't actually, you know, sort of commit the offenses that elicit the fees.
MarketWatch reporter Maria LaMagna on credit card fees you may not be aware of and how to avoid them. She's here in about 20 minutes. Rejecting criticisms that his words may have been too inflammatory, President Trump is now offering a follow-up to his comments about unleashing fire and fury at North Korea, speaking while on vacation at his golf club in New Jersey. Now he feels that his statement wasn't tough enough, perhaps. Mr. Trump and others want Pyongyang to stop its pursuit of a nuclear arsenal and to stop the threats like the one this week against Guam, a U.S. territory in the Pacific.
Let's see what he does with Guam. He does something in Guam, it will be an event the likes of which nobody's seen before, what will happen in North Korea.
In the latest exchange of one-liners, North Korea responded to the president earlier today by saying the U.S., quote, would suffer a shameful defeat and final doom if it persisted in threatening the country. The president's recent tough talk, by the way, has rattled markets. U.S. stocks fell by nearly 1% yesterday for a third straight session. President Trump has declared the opioid epidemic a national emergency. A White House commission on the opioid crisis recommended the president declare a national emergency in a preliminary report released last week. The panel said declaring an emergency under the Public Health Service Act, or the Stafford Act, would force Congress to focus on funding. The Stafford Act was designed to organize federal assistance to natural disasters.
We're going to draw it up and we're going to make it a national emergency. It is a serious problem, the likes of which we have never had.
Commission members said an emergency declaration could expand access to treatment by, for instance, deploying teams of federal physicians to areas hit hard by the opioid epidemic and creating mobile methadone programs. Other proposals they called for included enhancing real-time monitoring of the opioid threat by taking blood samples of overdose survivors in a sampling of emergency departments. President Trump's pledge to take more action against the opioid abuse problem carries a lot of weight in Trump country. Wall Street Journal data and politics reporter Dante Chinney has crunched the numbers and found that counties that voted for Mr. Trump in 2016 are experiencing the worst of the drug epidemic. Dante, what do we have?
So what we did is there's data from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation that looks at the overdose deaths. A large percentage of them are opioids at the county level. And what we did is we looked at the rate of overdose deaths and looked at the way those places voted. And I think it was really interesting when you look at these data is in places that counties that voted for Donald Trump were higher than the national median. We did the medians for this. There were about 16.9 deaths per 100,000 people, or drug overdose deaths, and much lower in Clinton County, 13.6 deaths per 100,000 people. That's a real noticeable difference. So the Trump number was also higher than the national average, which is 16.3 per 100,000 people. So you're talking about, on this issue, the opioid issue, the drug kind of epidemic that's sweeping through the country, you're talking about Trump places that have really been hit the hardest by this, the places that voted for Donald Trump. And I think for that reason, there's probably a lot of interest in particular in this in the White House.
Boy, and the numbers in West Virginia are almost unimaginable. Explain that, because they really stand out from the averages.
It is really breathtaking. So you're talking about, like I said, the national average is about 16.3. West Virginia, there are 8 or 9 counties that are above 50 per 100,000 people. That is a breathtaking number. Those numbers are really high. And, you know, Trump won every county in West Virginia. It was his second strongest state, I want to say. He did remarkably well there. And, again, these are people that are really suffering, and this issue really matters to those voters. This is something where he does really need to dig in my opinion, anyway.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal data and politics reporter Dante Cheney. He's written a piece entitled Opioid Crisis Hits Hardest in Counties That Voted for Trump. All right, so you opened the door a little bit for this then. We could be throwing a lot of money at the opioid and drug problem in the U.S., but are we treating just the symptoms then? Like, is this a drug issue, or is this something that needs addressing at the economic and educational level?
That's a really good question. And in my mind, it's both, obviously. Look, you've got to treat the addiction problem. It's transparent in the numbers, right? You look at the numbers, and we've seen a spike since 2000 of drug overdose deaths of 137%. Drug overdose deaths due to opioids, 200%. But again, the other point of that is what you're saying. Underneath those drug numbers are larger problems of kind of hopelessness and struggles. And they mean that you've got to do something about a larger economic kind of crisis that's going through the country and hitting, again, people with lower education rates, blue-collar workers. The two problems, to me, look interconnected. And fixing them is going to, you know, you can do what you can on the drug problem, but you're going to have to do something about this kind of bigger problem of struggles in these communities.
Yeah. Boy, how does the White House begin to tackle this? Have they offered anything on that front?
Well, so nothing, not a whole lot yet on what they're going to do about the opioid problem. You know, obviously, this does go hand in hand with all the stuff that President Trump talked about during the campaign, which is like he wants to bring back jobs in manufacturing, wants to bring back jobs in steel, he wants to bring back jobs in coal country. Those are all admirable goals. But when you really spend the time looking at these numbers, which I spend a lot of time doing, it's really hard to do. And that's not a Donald Trump issue. That's just a state of the world and economy issue. So, you know, dealing with this bigger problem we're talking about, even beyond the opioid problem, the problem with these communities that are struggling, is really hard. Yeah. And it's not something that's tackled easily by anybody. And I credit him for trying to do something about it and trying to help some of these communities. But this stuff is never going to be easy. It is a big, complicated problem that's tied into international global economics.
Thanks, Dante. It's Wall Street Journal data and politics reporter Dante Cheney. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, what's going on at Google?
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to Barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. Google continues to wallow in a public relations crisis. The company yesterday canceled a company-wide meeting about diversity just before it was set to begin, citing safety concerns after the names of certain employees were published. More from This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Google had scheduled the meeting after the firing this week of software engineer James Damore, who wrote a memo that argued biological differences between men and women explain the gender gap among tech workers. But the CEO canceled the meeting after employees expressed concerns that they may be outed publicly for asking a question in the town hall. Google's firing of Mr. Damore has sparked debate about the company's diversity program and whether it is intolerant of conservative viewpoints. Executives were expected to face difficult questions about the firing. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. Weird doings, right, at Google right now. It's not normally the news we hear from these guys. 18 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, President Trump issued a new threat to North Korea, saying his previous fire and fury warning to Pyongyang might have been too mild. At the Defense Innovation Unit Experimental Center in Mountain View, California, Defense Secretary James Mattis told reporters later the U.S. is focused on diplomatic results with North Korea.
The tragedy of war is well enough known. It doesn't need another characterization beyond the fact that it would be catastrophic.
Some tension now with China, where the foreign ministry says a U.S. Navy destroyer carrying out a freedom of navigation operation in the South China Sea Thursday violated international and Chinese law and seriously harmed Beijing's sovereignty and security. The USS John McCain traveled near Mischief Reef in the Spratly Islands, an area where China has territorial disputes with its neighbors. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards has declared a state of emergency in New Orleans.
I did sign a declaration of emergency for the parish of Orleans to make sure that the governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness is leaning forward, because if we get a heavier than expected rainfall, time will be of the essence.
The city's scrambling to repair fire-damaged equipment and shore up its drainage system less than a week after a flash flood from torrential rain overwhelmed the city's pumping system and led to a shakeup at the sewerage and water board. An FBI affidavit reveals the discovery of a global financial network run by a senior Islamic State official that funneled money to an alleged ISIS operative in Maryland through fake eBay transactions. The feds say the man pretended to sell computer printers on eBay as a cover to receive payments through PayPal, potentially to fund terror attacks. Harvard researchers have created the most genetically modified animals in existence to help end a shortage of organs for transplant. They successfully rid 37 pigs of viruses hiding in their DNA, overcoming one of the big barriers to transplanting pig organs to people. Well, with North Korea flexing its missile muscles, business is booming, no pun intended, for bomb shelters. The general manager of Rising S Bunkers in Texas tells Bloomberg sales of his shelters first started spiking after last year's election, but inquiries have doubled since late July, with 80% of them coming from Japan.
All right.
500 square feet underground, price tag $125,000.
Wow. Like one of those, I think they're starting to use some of those giant containers that you find on ships for these things, too.
Oh, but this guy, ready-made. This is apparently a luxury lair. Oh, yeah.
A little more amenity or a few more amenities and something like this.
For 500 square feet in the dark, better. Better have amenities.
21 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Time for a finance update, and it's brought to you by Lexington Hotels. Book your stay at Lexington and Red Lion Hotels and join Hello Rewards for future free nights and personalized perks with every stay. You may love using your credit card, but you probably don't love the fees that come along with it. That said, many of them are fairly easy to avoid. Here's MarketWatch personal finance writer Maria LaMagna. Maria, some of the fees I've never even heard of.
Me too, actually. Yeah, so the website creditcards.com just did a new report analyzing 100 different credit cards, representative sample from all of the card issuers, and they found that there are actually six different fees that are very widespread that almost all cards have. Some don't, but there's some very common fees that you can actually avoid if you can. So it's kind of just a good reminder that, even though some of these cards have them, you don't have to pay them if you don't actually, sort of commit the offenses that elicit the fees.
Yeah. All right. So late fees, we know. What else made that list?
So a lot of cards have annual fees. Not as many. There are only 24 cards with annual fees in 2017, which was kind of interesting to me just because we've heard so much about these flashy rewards cards that often have annual fees, which usually do pay off if you actually do the calculation and make sure you're getting, your money's worth out of the travel rewards or whatever it is that they earn for you. But then there are some, that are completely avoidable. A cash advance, a lot of cards charge you to actually get cash, borrow cash against your credit card. Going over limit, you can get charged for that on only four of the cards, but that's still something to be aware of. 80% charge you a fee for a returned payment, which is basically, you're trying to pay your credit card bill and maybe your check bounces or something like that happens. And so a lot of these are things that you can hopefully easily avoid if you just pay attention.
Are fees on the rise in the credit card industry?
Some of them are. Some of them are more widespread than they were just a few years ago, but luckily some of them have fallen, and one of them that has fallen a lot is foreign transaction fees. That has actually dropped drastically. There were 77 cards that charged foreign transaction fees in 2015, and now there's only 56. So it's more likely now that your card doesn't charge you that, which is great, because if you have one that does, it's usually 1% to 3% of each transaction. So if you're someone that travels a lot, especially internationally, it really pays off to get a card card that doesn't have a foreign transaction fee, so try to make sure yours doesn't. Mm.
Are there certain banks that are the worst offenders with credit card fees?
They actually didn't single out any banks in particular. I think it also just depends so much because every bank offers such a wide variety of cards. So I think the key is just, you know, regardless of what bank you're looking at, it's really good to look at these sort of rankings of best credit cards and that kind of thing for whatever you're looking for. Because, yeah, you can often get a card that isn't related to your bank. So it's just good to do your research before and just make sure which card in particular you're looking at doesn't have some of those.
We're speaking with MarketWatch reporter Maria LaMagna. What are the tricks to avoiding some of these fees, Maria?
So one thing you can do is set up automatic payments from your bank account to make sure you're actually paying your credit card fee on time. That's something that's easy to do. Another expert tip that I got during this story was try not to use your credit card at an ATM. Some people do that, but obviously it's better to use your debit card, and it's best to go to an ATM that's actually related to your bank. If there's other things that you can do, like trying to avoid a cash advance, obviously trying to make sure that all your banking information is current when you're making a payment so it doesn't bounce. A lot of it's just kind of diligence, and there's nothing really tricky about it. It's more just about paying attention.
How about this report and the cards that kind of had the fewest fees?
Yeah, so some of those surprised me. They were ones that were maybe a little bit less known. The one that had the least was from a credit union. It's called the Pentagon Federal Credit Union Promise Visa Card, and it has just one fee. You can opt into it to get paper statements, but besides that, it really has no fees at all. And then there were a lot of cards that only have a few fees. Some of them that came out on top for being the best were the Sam's Club MasterCard. There's a Capital One Secured MasterCard, a Journey Student Rewards from Capital One, Spark Miles Select from Capital One. A lot of them are Capital One, actually, so maybe that's a good way to go if you're looking to pay few fees. A lot of the ones that made the top of the list as being good were all Capital One cards.
Thanks, Maria. MarketWatch personal finance writer Maria LaMagna. Just to recap, by the way, those six fees she mentioned, the annual fee, which is, the privilege to use our card. They got the late payment fee, the balance transfer fee, foreign transaction fee, and that's the one that's really dropped. It was like 77 cards that did this in 2015, but that's dropped to 56 cards this year. The cash advance fee, the over limit fee, and the returned payment fee. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly on Twitter @GordonDeal. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Prices are for base buildings only. Do not include windows, doors, or accessories. Warning! Don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build to grow your business, call General Steel today. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building if you call now. For example, a 40 by 60 foot building is still less than $25,000. Even an 80 by 150 foot building is under $99,000.
Imagine 12,000 square feet for under $99,000.
This building is designed for your needs, no wasted space. And you get the General's quality and 50-year structural warranty at a price you can afford. You can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction by calling General Steel today. As much as half. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great. Call now. 877-61-STEEL.
It's not too late. Call.
877-61-STEEL. That's 877-617-8335.
When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter @ThisMorningShow. Like us on Facebook or send us an email, ThisMorning@CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, August 11. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshinka. Some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump says maybe his North Korea statements weren't tough enough. The White House declares the opioid epidemic a national emergency. Google, at the last minute, canceled a meeting on diversity. Flood warnings for the weekend in New Orleans.
For you stargazers, the Perseid meteor shower begins tonight. Elvis Week kicks off today. The king died 40 years ago this year, this month. And a high school intern makes his debut on this program with a sports report. See if he passes the final exam in about 20 minutes. 6 months into his term, President Trump has one big thing going for him, a robust job market. Employers added 209,000 jobs in July, while the unemployment rate fell to 4.3%. During Mr. Trump's first 6 months in office, the U.S. economy has added nearly 1.1 million jobs, earning Mr. Trump a B-plus for the state of the economy under his watch, according to Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. Rick, what did you put together?
Yeah, well, we've had terrific job numbers for Trump's first 6 months. So far in the Trump presidency, the economy has added 1.1 million new jobs. We're doing an ongoing project called the Yahoo Finance Trumponomics Report Card. We're measuring the performance of the economy under Trump compared with six prior presidents at the same point in their presidencies. And when you sort of look at the numbers, there were two presidents who had more job creation at this point in their presidencies. Bill Clinton, about 1.2 million new jobs. And believe it or not, Jimmy Carter back in the 1970s, about 2.1 million new jobs.
Wow.
But of the other four presidents, Trump is ahead of them. So that is Barack Obama, George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, and even Ronald Reagan. So he ranks third out of seven, and that's pretty good.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. His piece is called One Way Trump is Outperforming Other Presidents. We're talking specifically about job creation. How fair of a measurement is that, 6 months, 7 months into an administration?
Everybody, and this generates a lot of controversy when we talk about this, because we get Trump critics who say he has nothing to do with the creation of all those jobs. All he did was inherit a strong economy, the strong economy that Barack Obama left him. And then we have other people who say, no, Trump has brought these totally new business-friendly policies in. And I think the reality is that so far, first 6 months, I don't think you can really give Trump personal credit for what's happening in the economy. The pace of job growth so far is about the same as it had been for the last 3 years of the Obama economy. So it's going about the same as it was under Obama. However, I think the reality is that a president generally gets either the credit or the blame for what happens under his watch in the economy, regardless of whose actual policies you might be able to trace it to. And as we get further into the Trump presidency, this will become the Trump economy, and it will more directly reflect his own policies and his own actions as president.
Yeah. As you point out, too, you say what matters for Trump the most isn't what happens, obviously, during these first 6 or 12 months.
It matters what the economy looks like in November of 2018 when the next midterm elections come around, and, of course, in November of 2020 when the next presidential election is. And things can change quite a lot from the beginning of a president's term to the end of a president's term. And that's why we're doing this Trumponomics report card. We plan to do this all throughout the Trump presidency. And we know what the numbers are for the other presidents. And if you look at Obama, for example, at this point in the Obama presidency, the economy had lost 3.4 million jobs. I mean, just a huge loss of jobs.
Yeah.
But we all know why that was, because Obama came in during in the midst of a financial crash and in the worst recession since the 1930s, and nobody blamed that on Obama. And then the Obama economy picked up. So by the end of his second term, especially when you compare it with where he started, job growth under Obama looked pretty good. So in some sense, it's possible that, so far Trump's timing looks really good, lucky timing. He inherited a good economy. But the business cycle could also turn by the time his third and fourth year come around, and it could end up that his timing turns out not to be so lucky.
Mm. Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman, who's based in New York. It is 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. beyond the headlines now. This morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it looks like the St. Louis Cardinals need some help looking for their rally cap. The feisty feline became an internet sensation this week, sprinting onto the field Wednesday night at Busch Stadium with the bases loaded for the Cardinals with two outs in the sixth inning. The cat emerged from near the visitor's dugout on the third base side and raced into the outfield, the fur on its tail standing on end. Kansas City was leading 5-4 at the time, and play was delayed for a couple of minutes while the grounds crew collected the cat. On the first pitch after play resumed, Yadier Molina hit a grand slam to give the Cardinals an 8-5 lead. The cat was instantly dubbed hashtag RallyCat on Twitter, and St. Louis went on to win its fifth victory in a row. Now the Cardinals are looking for the cat, which went missing when a female fan claiming it was hers grabbed the cat and abruptly left. The Cardinals said the team hopes to find the cat to make sure it is properly cared for.
This poor woman who owns it.
Yes.
Now has like all of St. Louis baseball looking for her and her cat.
Yes.
A powerful and wealthy sports organization is raining down its influence, demanding she give up her cat.
Yes. The entire Midwest is basically looking for this cat. And, you know, again, they say they want to make sure it's properly cared for. I think they probably want to keep it around the stadium so that they can win some more games. They're now, you know, knocking on the door of first place, the Cardinals are.
Mm-hmm. Six in a row.
Yep.
After winning last night.
Yes.
And speaking of grand slams, Dexter Fowler hit one last night. So like back to back nights, they've gone grand slammy.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Royals now, after encountering the cat, are in the midst of a four-game losing streak. So
we know
the Royals would be happy to get out of town and go somewhere else.
We know that cats can have an effect on baseball pennant races. This has been seen before. The Mets won in 1969 because of a cat, people say. So, yeah, this has happened before. So, yeah, they got to find that cat.
I love that the Cardinals, they're looking for the cat.
Yes, actively searching for the cat. And if you're looking to get some fresh ink for the fall but are agonizing over what you should get, a Dallas tattoo shop has a solution. At Elm Street Tattoo, prospective ink seekers put a coin into a vending machine, turn the knob, and get a plastic bulb with a tattoo design inside. Whatever the design is, that's the tattoo you get. And the best part is that it only costs $100, a relative bargain when you consider that the designs in the machine would, according to shop workers, normally run you anywhere from $160 to $250. Mm. There's also a do-over option. If Lady Luck doesn't smile upon you, you can take another spin at the machine for just an extra $20.
Oh, very good. Great, I like that.
Go. Yeah, that's pretty cool, because that would be, and I don't have any tattoos, but I think that would be the hardest thing for me, would be deciding what to get out of the, you know, thousands that are on the wall to choose from.
So you might go this route if you were able to get a tattoo?
For my first ever tattoo, I might go this route.
Is that right?
It wouldn't be, you know, I couldn't get any doubles, right?
Okay. I just want to ask you this.
Yes.
So you turn the knob.
Yeah.
And out comes this little plastic egg.
Yes.
And when you open the egg, the design is the New York Jets logo. What does Mike Gavin do then? I'm pretty sure he coughs up the extra $20 to take another turn and get a different logo.
I might do the New York Jets logo, but if it was the Dallas Cowboys logo,
oh really?
That might be a deal breaker.
Definitely $20.
Yeah,
definitely
for sure. Yeah, more. Yeah. 20, about 40, 60, whatever I need to do. There's going to be no Cowboys on me. Thanks very much.
This is probably, by the way, best not done after a night of drinking.
No.
You don't want to show up at a
tattoo
shop.
But it probably will most likely be done after a night of drinking. Let's face facts.
That's a good point. It's 9 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, President Trump doubled down on his remarks to North Korea, saying his previous statement may not have been tough enough. He demanded that Kim Jong-un's government get their act together or face extraordinary trouble.
Let's see what he does with Guam. He does something in Guam, it will be an event the likes of which nobody's seen before, what will happen in North Korea.
And a new direction from President Trump. He says he plans to declare the opioid crisis a national emergency. The designation would offer states and federal agencies more resources and power to combat the epidemic. Without offering details, Trump said his administration is working on the paperwork needed for the declaration to take effect. Canadian embassy personnel are reporting what they're calling unusual symptoms from their Havana postings. State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert will only say the investigation is ongoing.
We will not confirm the health status of any Americans, whether they're in Cuba, back here at home, or elsewhere.
But the Associated Press says the injuries are hearing problems, significant in some cases, and suggests it could have been caused by audio spy gear that Cuban intelligence secretly installed in the embassies or residences. A bombshell at the preliminary hearing for 18 Pennsylvania State University fraternity members charged in the hazing death of Tim Piazza. A lead investigator alleges one of the men erased security footage that could have shed light on the 19-year-old pledge's final moments. Prosecutors say additional charges could be filed in the alcohol-fueled hazing ritual that left Piazza with eventually fatal brain injuries from a headlong fall downstairs. Almost 200 people were sickened by a norovirus outbreak traced to an Ohio donut shop. The Toledo Lucas County Health Department pinpoints Mama C's Donuts in Maumee. All those affected ate there between August 4th and August 7th, but health officials say people who have had norovirus can spread it for up to 2 weeks after symptoms clear. Bruce Springsteen's Broadway debut is a go. His solo show, Springsteen on Broadway, begins performances at the intimate Walter Carr Theater in October. The boss will do 5 shows a week through late November. Tickets go on sale August 30th, and that's exclusively through Ticketmaster verified fans. So you got to pre-register to score them. Go. Have you
seen him in concert, by the way?
Yes.
Is there a reason to see any other concert after seeing him? You know what I mean. Performance-wise. Performance-wise, he's hard to top. You have 4 or 5 hours, no breaks.
Just bucket list, for sure.
Guy brings it every night. Thank you, Rasa. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. Thanks for being with us. So finally this hour, it's time for the debut of a rare pre-college intern. While with us the past couple of weeks, arriving at 3 a.m. to take part in an intensive program involving audio editing, broadcast writing, and on-air delivery, this young man has advanced to the point where we've decided it's time to offer him an on-air shot, tackling one of his favorite subjects, sports. Just finished high school 3 months ago here in New Jersey and has been accepted to Syracuse University, where he'll study broadcasting at the prestigious Newhouse School. Here with today's sports headlines is contributing correspondent Max Chadwick.
All right, well, thanks, Gordon. All right, let's forget politics for a second. Let's get down to what's really important. Thorbjørn Olsen and Kevin Kisner lead after the first round of the PGA Championship. Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott is expected to be suspended for domestic violence allegations. Kyrie Irving reportedly went days without talking to teammates during the Cavs postseason run. And hey, kids, instead of buying a candy bar with that money that grandma gave you, why not buy a relief pitcher? The Mariners acquired Ernesto Friere from the Rangers for a grand total of $1. That's today's sports roundup. I'm Max Chadwick.
Nicely done, intern. Good luck at Syracuse. Good having you here.
Appreciate it.
Max Chadwick, everyone. For Rasa K, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.